We are going to continue in the series that we've been working on called Making Healthier Churches. Okay, so this year we've really been talking about getting healthier because God gave us the word that this is going to be the best year ever. Yeah, you can praise him for that. But he showed me that it can be the best year ever if we're willing to get healthier in different areas. So we talked about getting healthier personally. We talked about having healthier homes, and we're talking about healthier churches right now. So ours, obviously, but the church and as a whole as well. So how do we see healthier churches? Now, we talked about healthier churches relationally a couple weeks ago, and we are talking this week about making healthier churches spiritually. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Okay, so I believe that the first important thing to have a healthy church spiritually is that we need to properly deal with sin and evil. Now, these are some heavy topics, but stick with me. I started with the heavies on purpose. We'll get to the, you know, you start with the meat and potatoes and ice cream at the end or something like that. Let's try that. So why does this matter in a church? A church that's healthy is not afraid to deal with things that destroy people's lives. A church that's healthy is not afraid to say, hey, sin is not okay, and we don't just let evil continue what it wants. Okay, so these might be trickier topics, and sometimes you're like, oh, I feel better if you don't talk about it. But if I don't talk about it, we don't deal with it. And I likened this a couple weeks ago to this picture. If you go to the hospital, let's say you go in and they're like, hey, it's so good to see you. They give you a little hug and they send you out sick and say, see you next week. And you come back just as sick. And they say, man, it's good to see you. Give you a big hug and send you back out. That's like a church that never deals with sin or evil. They're making you happy, but you're not getting better. Now, thankfully, doctors don't do that. That would be really strange, wouldn't it? You might be glad to see them, but you really need to get healthy. And so the same for church spiritually. We need to be healthy. That means we can't be afraid to say, this is what I saw in the x-ray. Now, think if a doctor was afraid to ever tell you that there was a problem, you're like, well, they might not like me if I tell them, you know, when I looked at this x-ray, they're broken. No, the doctor has to tell you for you to get better. So similarly, in church, we have to be okay with saying, I think there's an internal issue. It's spiritual, internal. And God wants to make you better. That's why we're pointing it out. Okay, so the same thing happens in a healthy church. But let's give some scripture, and you know me, I got quite a few. Matthew 9:13. It says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, so they're talking about Jesus, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is kind of what I was talking about with the doctor picture. But Jesus, the religious people were actually getting upset at him. Like, why are you sitting and eating and hanging out with these sick people? People with issues. And he made the point, that's who I came for, but he also clearly stated he didn't just come to hang out. He came to call them to repentance or a change of life. The word repentance means to turn around. You're going this way and you decide to go this way. And church, repentance is a decision. Okay? Repentance is a decision. Jesus came to call people to see their lives changed. Now, yes, he came to shed his blood so that we can have forgiveness of sins, but his message was, turn from sin and follow me. It wasn't, hey, come, you're going to get rich if you follow me. Well, he wants to bless people, but that wasn't his message. His message was, turn. Do you know his message was not even, come follow me and you'll all get healed? That was just what he did because of who he is. But his message was, turn from sin. Why? Because he doesn't just want you healthy physically, he wants you healthy spiritually. And a healthy spiritual person is not afraid to deal with sin. Now, Jesus preached repentance. We know that from Scripture. Often we just think of the stories of his miracles and great things, but what did he preach? We know he taught. Matthew 4, verse 17. It says, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is when Jesus began his ministry. He actually, at this point, just came out of the wilderness. You see, he got baptized in water, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it said the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And while he was there in the wilderness, the devil tried to get him to sin. He was there fasting for 40 days. He defeated the devil by using Scripture that he knew. And then immediately when he came out, he began his ministry. And what did he preach? Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A healthy church says, get healthy in your spiritual life. If sin is holding you back, if you're in an area that God's been convicting you of, then turn, deal with it. You know, maybe you're newer to the faith and you're thinking, well, what's right and what's wrong? I don't always know. The Holy Spirit will let you know if something you're doing is not okay with him. It's not about memorizing a bunch of rules. It really isn't. You don't have to have this big list of do's and don'ts. You can sense in your spirit if some way that you're living or continuously doing something is not okay with him. And if you know it, you deal with it. Jesus also sent his disciples out, and what did they preach? I know that some of you are thinking about, well, they preached God is love and let's heal everybody. God loves everybody. He does, and he does want to heal. But what did they actually preach? Mark 6 and verse 7, and then we'll also do verse 12. It said, he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. And verse 12 tells you what they preached. So the disciples went out telling everyone that they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. Oh, boy. Why does that matter so much? Following God absolutely means that you turn from sin to follow. You've got to leave some things behind to properly follow him. That's just how it is. Following him and repenting of sin is a decision. Matthew 11 and verse 20. Jesus cared so much about repentance that there's this story where he begins to rebuke some cities. He's actually a little bit upset. It says he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Jesus came and he healed paralytics. He healed blind people, deaf people, cripples. He even raised some from the dead. And yet there were cities that he went to and did many mighty miracles and they were like, great show, woohoo! But they kept on sinning. They kept on living the same way they'd always lived. And Jesus wasn't okay with that. And he began to talk to them. And he said this. He said, woe to this city. In other words, guys, you're headed for some big trouble. He said, on the day of judgment, it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, those wicked cities. He said, it's going to be more tolerable for the city of Sodom. Sodom was the city where fire and brimstone rained down because of their sin. And he said, if I had been there and these miracles had been done, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. They would have turned. Did you catch that? If they'd seen his miracles, seen his reality, they would have turned. Not a, if I had been there, there would have been some poofy thing through the air and they would have never ever thought of being bad again. They would have turned. Repentance is a decision. And if you've seen the power and the hand of God and you refuse to turn, you're headed in a bad, bad direction. It's a decision. But I have some good news in this. Don't worry. If you're willing to deal with it, you're willing to say, okay, I'm turning, he'll come alongside you and help you turn. But if you're not willing, you don't ever take the step, you're headed in a bad direction. Okay, dealing with evil. A healthy church is not afraid to deal with evil, and we live in a world where there's some evil. We live in a world where people make terrible decisions outside of our decisions that affect us. People choose to do nasty, horrible things, and it affects us. That is beyond our control, and it's evil. And evil works through people sometimes, but our real enemy is the devil in these situations of evil. But let me give you a scripture, Acts 16 and verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. What was happening here? There was actually an evil spirit operating, following Paul around, saying the truth. They were men of the Most High God, and they were saying the way of salvation, but it was an evil spirit. And healthy churches are not afraid to note when there's a spirit that's wrong and deal with it. You know, I've been in ministry for many years, and I've been in meetings where there's no discernment because people want a wild meeting. There's people possessed, manifesting, and nobody does anything because they're thinking, "Whoa, this is good. We got a wild meeting." They might need prayer. They might need someone to deal with that thing. You know, they're flopping on the ground. It's not the Holy Spirit. Can you discern the difference? Maybe there's someone beside you and they're telling you all the right things and they seems like, boy, they got some spiritual stuff going on. I should always tell them my problems so they can give me a word. You better make sure it's Holy Spirit. Because if it's a wrong spirit, you're heading to a direction where you're going to get derailed. By the way, you don't put your trust in people anyhow. God sends people to encourage and build up, but your real trust should be in Him in these matters. Even for myself, if I'm giving you direction, I'm saying here's a word from the Holy Spirit, you should have a confirmation already in you that this is the Lord. And you, if it's a big deal, you should pray and ask for God to show you another confirmation if necessary. Okay? Just know this, God wants you to be blessed and He wants us to deal with evil. So we're a healthy church is willing to deal with evil when it's there. They're willing to discern it. Maybe you've had evil things bother you and you didn't know it. You know, we live in a world where people will pay other people to put curses and they'll pay somebody to do witchcraft. Well, they're jealous of your business or they're jealous of you. Well, do you know when that type of thing's happening and you're willing to deal with it? And what do I mean by that? Dealing with that, you're like, well, I'm a Christian. Nothing bad is going to be allowed to come near me, right? Have you ever heard of trespassers? They have no right to be on your property, but they come on your property. And did you know that in most cases, if you ignore a trespasser, they will actually camp out. They'll build a house, and they'll use your stuff. Oh. So yeah, you're right. No enemy has the right to harass you, but when they do, you better deal with it. And you deal with it by using the authority that Christ gave you. And you command evil to leave your stuff in Jesus' name. Let me give you one more about dealing with evil, and it was Jesus. In Mark 9 and verse 22, and there was a man whose son was possessed with a spirit, an evil spirit. It says, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you, come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. You see, Jesus knew how to deal with evil, and he wants us to be able to deal with evil. And the cool thing is, you can if you believe. I love this story because the father is kind of begging Jesus, and he says, "If you can do anything, you know, can you?" And Jesus is basically saying, "What do you mean if I can? Has nothing to do about whether I can. I can, but do you believe it? Do you believe I can do it for you right now?" And that is the key to receiving from the Lord. Do you believe he can do it for you right now, today? If you believe it, it's going to be yours. You see, ignoring evil in the church would be like avoiding or ignoring sickness or pain in our bodies. And if we refuse to deal with it properly, we can become unhealthy, possibly unable to function, or maybe even die. You have to deal with it. You see, if we refuse to deal with sin or evil, there are consequences. Maybe not a favorite word, but there are. Numbers 32:23. "If you don't do as you've said, then you will have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will catch up to you." Here's the problem with sin. It's like it doesn't produce the bad results or the consequences right away. I wish it did, then everybody would be like, "Oh, that was stupid." But it takes so long that people can get really far in before the consequences begin. Let me give you one more verse, Galatians 6, verse 7. "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." You see, what you plant, you will reap. The things that you plant in the ground don't come up the next day, do they? Anybody's ever planted a garden? Every farmer knows you put the seed in the ground, you don't go out the next day and give up if you don't see any results. You see, good seeds will bring a harvest, but unfortunately, so will bad seeds. What are you planting? Are you speaking health over your relationship? Are you speaking health over your business? Are you speaking health over yourself? Because those words you speak, even if you're not there at the moment, are seeds planted. Or are you planting, "I'm such a failure. Oh, I can never do it. That's because of where I come from. Well, my parents, there's just no hope." Stop it. Those are going to grow. When you feel like that, do not speak it out. Feelings come and go, but when you declare that kind of stuff, it's seeds planted. Change what you're planting and begin to plant instead, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror because of him. There's nothing impossible if I believe. All things work together for good because I serve him." Plant, 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 plant. "He's the God that heals me, and I am healed." Plant, plant, plant. Because you reap what you sow. You know, sin and evil hold people in bondage, and God wants us to be free. You see, God came. Jesus said, "I've come that you have life and life more abundantly." He said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then he said, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." He wants you free. And sin and evil need to be dealt with for people to be free. Maybe you've met somebody who's in bondage to sin. You know, it's easy to see the big ones, that person in bondage to alcohol or drugs. And we see it wrecking their lives. But you know, people can be in other kinds of bondage as well. I once in a while pull this one up just to make you think. Did you know that you can be addicted to shopping? Shopping can become an addiction. Now, you got to shop. You have to buy stuff. You have to eat groceries. But if you're shopping to make yourself feel good, you know, the guy who has to get a new car all the time because he makes him feel good. If you're shopping to cover something and you're making yourself go in debt, you're not paying your bills, guaranteed it could be an addiction. Don't go there. You know, if you got to buy one more guitar, and you already got five, oh, the worship team right now is looking at me, don't go there, Pastor. If you need one more toy in the garage, if you need to stack another box in the closet of that new thing, oh. Most people forget, but when they bought it, hey, you know, this is, nowadays you can shop online, and you can just spend like crazy, and the thing about shopping online is, you know, like you go out in the morning, open your door, and there's a present. It's like, somebody loves me. Of course, it's got your name. You paid it with your credit card. But it doesn't matter. It feels so good. It's like Santa was here. It's not even Christmas. Boy, those online people knew what they were doing. That's not wrong to have that, but you can actually get a little bit of a high off it, and for some people, it can become an addiction. God wants you blessed, and he has special gifts for you all the time, but don't let it become an addiction. Don't let it break your bank account. Don't let it stack up your closets with stuff you don't even know what's in there. All right? God has good things for you. We make healthier churches by praying for the Holy Spirit to fill the building and ourselves. Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hey, you want a church that's healthy spiritually? You got to make room for the Holy Spirit. You've got to invite him in. You've got to ask him to be present. And they did that in Bible days, and we do it still today. We want his Spirit present in what we do, because without it, there's no life. We don't want to just have dead religion. We want to have Holy Spirit life. Luke 24 and 46, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Jesus is talking to his followers right before he ascends to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said to them, it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What was the message they were all sent to preach? Repentance and remission of sins. Turn, be forgiven. Okay. And you are witness of these things. In other words, he's telling them, you're going to go do this. You're going to tell them what you've seen. You're going to teach them what I've taught you. But he says, I send a promise of my Father upon you. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Church, if we don't have his power, we won't be healthy. We won't fulfill the mission. We won't accomplish the things he has for us to do. And that goes for us individually as well. What does he put in front of you? What does he want you to do? Get his Holy Spirit power to do it. Ask for it. It's that easy. Ask for him. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit power. If you ask and believe, he will do just that. You see, we need that to fulfill our mission. And finally, we're ending with this. We're not quite ending, but we're getting close. I have 5 minutes. You see, to be a healthy church, we must always, always continue helping people find and follow Jesus, because that's our mission. An unhealthy church forgets about the lost. An unhealthy church forgets that their mission is actually to bring people to him. We need to never forget that. And you know here that we talk about it often. You know, in Acts chapter 2, I'm not going to read it, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, Peter talked to the people. They'd just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began talking with all the people. And it said that 3,000 people came and accepted Christ. He just talked to them, preached to them. He, right away after being filled with the Spirit, knew what his mission was. And in Acts chapter 3, we're also not going to go to it. You can go read these after. Acts 3, 25 and chapter 4, verse 4. Once again, they're talking to the people. It's only a little while down the road, and it said that 5,000 came to him. They didn't have speaker systems or anything. It almost seems impossible. That's a lot of people hearing the word, but they understood what their mission was. And of course, they were told to go all over. And because they didn't go, persecution started, and then they started spreading out. And one of those who left and began to preach somewhere else was Philip. And Philip, again, I'm going to give you the verse so you can read them later because of time. Acts 8, verse 5 to 12. You can read that on your own for those who take notes. Acts 8, 5 to 12 talks about how Philip went to Samaria and he preached. And God did miracles. There was healings, people getting set free from evil spirits. The entire city said, "We want to be baptized." Both men and women were getting baptized because they're like, "This is real. We know it's real because of what God's doing." And then the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and said, "I need you, Philip, to leave the city where all these miracles are happening. Everybody's getting saved." He said, "I want you to go from Jerusalem, and I want you to go on the desert road that heads toward another city." He said, "I want you to go there." And he listened, and he starts walking down a desert road. And as he's walking down that desert road towards Gaza, he sees a man in a chariot from Ethiopia, and the man happens to be a great man of authority just under the queen of Ethiopia. And he's in his chariot reading a scroll of Isaiah. But here is Philip, who was with an entire city, and God tells him, walk down a road, and now the Lord tells him, go join yourself to that chariot. And so he moves, kind of runs over there, he's hanging onto the chariot while it goes, and he hears this guy reading from the scroll. And he's reading in Acts chapter 8, verse 32. You can put this one up. The passage of scripture he'd been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." Then the eunuch looked at Philip, who's come beside his chariot. "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning at this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I want you to understand something right now and never forget it. Whether it's thousands or one, it's important to the Lord. And I want you to understand something right now. You, one person, are just as important to the Lord as an entire city. And he will send someone who has just seen a whole city for the one. The God we serve isn't about the massive crowd. Massive crowds come when miracles happen. Massive crowds come when you're doing things the way God's asked. But he is concerned for the one. He cares about you more than you can imagine. You see, he would have went and hung on that cross if only one person was going to come. And if that one person was you, he still would have done it. You're like, "Oh, but you don't know me. I messed up lots." Everybody's messed up lots. And he did it anyways. And so what do we do with that kind of love? What do we do with that? We accept it. We receive it for ourselves. We say, "Okay, Lord, you did it for me, then I want it." In church, it's simple. It says in Romans that anyone who believes in their heart that Christ did that for them and rose again, and if they speak it with their mouth, they'll be saved. You see, this walk of following Jesus begins with a prayer. It begins with believing and a simple prayer. And we do that here on a regular basis in case there's one. You know, God wants your life to flow in a direction he has, and it begins with this. So today we're going to pray. I'm going to, right where you're seated, I'm going to ask you as a group to join me as I always do for that one or two that maybe haven't had the opportunity to do this. And I want you to pray it from your heart. So let's do that right now. Please repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I need you. I want to follow you. Amen.